I guess it's good that they remind me who I am.
I know, it's on both sides, isn't it? I was going to turn it around. I was like, oh no, it's on both sides. That's good because I'm so bad at that.
Yeah, that's for
you know, us on this side. That's where I talk to you, know. For always the values. I'm so forgetful.
You don't even have to pretend.
Yeah.
Because
that's Peter over here, right?
We don't even need awful enough to remember each other's names, right?
Well, you know, you've been with a test voice for a couple of 3 years.
Well, and before that, I've been with it almost from the beginning. And then I was out for a few years. My husband died and I just dropped out of everything for a while. And then I came back, I don't know, a few years ago. Yeah. And you've been here forever, right? Right? From the beginning?
I had black hair when I joined.
Yes, you did. I can't even remember what year that was, truthfully. It's been a while.
It's 2:03.
That sounds, I was thinking 2:04, but yeah, 2:06 sounds right. And you're a neighbor who represents them,
no?
Yes.
No, no, I'm a neighbor.
Me too. I thought you were from my area.
Yeah.
I have property. I do. I have property there. I don't have my own business there. I run my property. So that is my business. But I also used to have a business within my business. Yeah. But now I own the property and manage it. And work. I don't live in Belleville Heights, but I work with the neighbors.
You know, how is that? Are you used to own the property?
Yeah.
So, what is the label going on now? Still, I had a apartment over there. I sold it a couple years ago.
I'm Pam Platering.
Thank you.
Hi, Alice.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Did you find a spot?
Well, I'm kind of handicapped.
Oh, you've got a handicap placard. Great.
Yeah. That one was there in the shade.
Anyway.
The neighborhood about the same as it's been. Is that what you're asking me, like the condition of the neighborhood? So we re-upped our neighborhood association. Jane Baker had run it for years and it was defunct for 10 years. And now 2 years ago we got it going back. And we're doing good and working with the authorities. And had some new housing built in the north part of the neighborhood. I think we're holding our own.
Okay, I think we're ready to start.
And it'll be.
I am Joe Landers. I am part of the Red Road team. I am your facilitator tonight. I see many familiar faces here. It's great to see you, and we appreciate your time and energy to come out tonight. So, what we. So here's our agenda for this evening. We'll go through them. Item 22 here in a second. Some tasks that we have to approve the minutes. Bob, our project manager, will go through phase 3 and 4. We have representatives from the contractor here. We'll talk about our open house. Alejandro's here with phase 5 and 6. Main Street business assistance. We have a chance to the call to the audience. Next steps, roundtable, and adjournment. So, with that, task force, I think we'll start with you to establish roll call and quorum, and if you want to give your name or organization you represent and how long you've been on the task force.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deirdre La Rochelle, and I was appointed by Ward 3. I represent the Dodge Flower neighborhood. I think it's been about 5 or 6 years, so I think I'm one of the newer ones. I know there's some folks that have been here since the beginning.
My name is Joe Yee, and I represent the Orico and Grant
neighborhood over there, the small business over there. I've been here since 2006.
My turn. I'm Susan Alexander, and I started pretty much at the beginning, but I did have a few years off there in the middle. I'm a business slash property owner representative, and I am from way down West Grant.
I'm Peter Williams. I've been on the task force for 2 years, so one newer. I chair the San Carlos Neighborhood Association.
My name is Matt Baer, and I represent business at Tucson and Grant, and I've been on the task force for 5 minutes.
Is that how we got a quorum?
We're volunteered in that.
Yeah, we're volunteered me.
I'm Alice Rowe, and I've been on the task force ever since when, and I represent neighborhoods, and I come out of the Bloom and Elk neighborhood.
I'm Jim Hogan. I formerly owned Hogan School of Real Estate by Grant, just east of Alberta, and I still own property there, and I've been on the task force since the day one, along with Alice and Susan and Joe.
I'm Dave Sunderman. I represent the neighborhoods. I live in Catalina Vista. I've been on the task force, I believe, since 2017.
By the way, I do represent business along Grant.
The team members, you want to quickly identify yourself?
Hey, my name is Michael Shook. I'm one of the engineers with Granite Construction.
I'm Tanner Frankfurt. I'm one of the project managers for Granite on the job.
Yeah, I'm Bob Rogatine. I'm project manager.
Alejandro Angel with Somas. We're designing not the one that's going to construction, but the last segment on phases 5 and 6.
Randy Cheney, engineer, also with Somas.
And then in the back, we have two representatives, Debbie and Brissa with Canine, that are helping with the meeting minutes. Michael?
Mike Graham. I'm with the City Transportation Department, Public Information.
Britton Dornquist, program manager for the Main Street Business Assistance Program. We've been there since the start.
And I'm Jan Walkon. I'm the business outreach liaison for the Grant Road Project, and I'm with the RTA Main Street Program.
Mr. Ellis?
I'm Rick Ellis. I'm the Director of Transportation Services with PAG RTA.
Okay, again, thank you. And our next item is discussion approval of, believe it or not, April 28, 2022 minutes, which we did send out to you in advance. So if the task force has any edits, comments, changes, and if we can approve them, then we will submit them to the clerk's office.
I move we accept them as written.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All in agreement?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so Bob, your turn.
Okay, so I've been on this thing since 2019 on the 7th project manager.
Oh, just 7.
Longest tenure.
Longest tenure?
Yeah,
okay, I'll go with that. And when I took over, we were supposedly had 100%. Let's just roll with that and say we had it. We've had a lot of, and if you lived in the neighborhood, you know, you've had a tremendous amount of construction already with TEP, Southwest Gas, and Lumen. They've already put a lot of infrastructure into the ground. So this particular project, as many of you already know, it's a widening project. It's it goes from the five-lane section to a seven-lane section, six-lane section with the median and turn pockets. Dodge and Palo Verde, they lose their signal, and they'll have toucans at those locations. And then to get the efficiency back, we're looking at indirect lefts at Grant and Alvernon, along with a new treatment for the intersection, protected intersection. And I think there's one other one that's been built in Arizona. It's at Flagstaff. And and it's the first one which will be building here in Tucson. And we can go into the, we're going to have another one at on 5 and 6, and Alejandro can speak to that. I think the total dollars for construction, for actual construction is, for the project construction is like $64 million. It's pretty close. And we'll be starting April 29th, right? And it's a 2.5-year project. And I'm going to leave the details to the contractor because he knows way more than I do. Have I missed anything? Oh, landscape. So landscape, there's 232 trees to go in. In most places, we've looked for 8-foot sidewalk width, and then with a 12-foot buffer of landscape where the landscape materials go. And what else we got? Oh, we got a few bus pull-outs. And the indirect left at Grant Melbourne. And there's the protected intersection, and we can go through that a little bit if people want to, we can go through that. But yes. It probably, yes. You want me to?
Yes.
Alejandro?
Yes.
Sure.
You're better than I am.
Yeah, I'll explain what a protected intersection is. So, and if any, we can get a more detail at the plots later when we're done with the main meeting, but protected intersections are intended to make intersections slightly smaller so that they're easier to navigate for people walking and biking. If you think about a lot of the intersections on Grant Road and in Tucson, like think of Campbell and Speedway today, how big it is, for instance. So this ones have areas for the bike lanes are protected at the intersection so the curb can get moved closer to the center of the street. The returns for the pedestrians, the curves at the returns are smaller, so it's a shorter crossing distance for pedestrians, and they are more easily seen by drivers. So on a blown up detail, we can show you more, but that's the intent. They're intersections that are intended for areas with a lot of people walking and biking to improve safety. And so, as Bob said, Alvernon and Grant is the one on this segment. The one we are doing for Phases 5 and 6 is for Grant and Mountain, which is a huge bicycling and walking corridor, obviously.
Task force members, do you have any questions for the status of the project for Bob or Alejandro before we move on to construction?
Larry?
Yeah, I have no question. I just want folks to know that Bob has been very, very, very communicative over the last number of years. We've had a lot of project managers on this whole Grant Road project over the years, and by far, in my opinion, Bob has done a great job. Anytime that I've had questions, whether it's for my property or other business owners' properties, he's been very open, very transparent, and get great information. So I want to thank you, Bob, for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Anything else from the task force?
I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. For those 232 trees, who is the group that's going to be responsible for maintaining and pruning them? Will that be Storm to Shade or another?
No.
Group?
So that'll be a transportation maintenance problem, and as opposed to Grant Road 5 Phase 2. Phase 2, Parks and Rec took that over, right? Who?
Well, in the basin, they did.
Yes.
I think. Yeah. No, actually, did they? Okay.
Yeah,
but the rest of the project, it was the contractor for the first 2 years,
right,
and then city transportation.
Okay. It's a little convoluted. But transportation will take over the maintenance for the trees after we're done on this phase 3 and 4.
Task force members, anything else? Chad Hausler is the project manager with Granite Construction. He is going to go through and give a construction sequencing and time frame. If you have trouble seeing, I actually didn't think about adjusting lights, let us know, or feel free to move around. That's okay too. We've all been together for many years. We don't need to be real formal here. Okay, Chad, you're up.
Hi, like Joan said, I'm Chad, project manager with Granite Construction. We'll be working with Tanner and Michael out on the job out in front of us here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to switch over to Google Earth. And we'll cover our phasing really quick here, and then we'll kind of go a little bit more in detail on how we're going to move through the project. So kind of to start off with, our first phase is basically utilities with sewer and water. We're going to go get that relocated from Edith all the way down to Venice, progressing east to west, or I'm sorry, west to east. Once we're kind of using Elbernon as a boundary limit to make sure that as work crosses Elbernon, we can start back up on the east side with the next round of construction and come through the job. So basically, phases one and two are mostly going to be night work, and they're mostly going to be underground, almost through January of next year. Now, phase three won't be completed until March of next year, but you know, it's getting the utilities out of the way. So the water and sewer has to get out of the way for the storm drain. And you know, we've got some quantities. I'll run through those right here, because it is a road reconstruct, but it is a major underground effort of utilities that we will be installing. Kind of, you know, it's a mile, it's actually 1.6 miles of linear feet of street, but we're putting in over, it's 33,800 feet of underground pipe. That's over six and a half miles of pipe we're putting in this 1.6 miles. So what's gonna occur is a lot of work you'll get, you know, the public won't see, because we're doing a lot of it at night to mitigate, you know, traffic and to help increase production. And drive through the next day, you might not think we were there, but we were there. The road work's gonna start in January of next year, and then we'll start getting the work done. But I'll show exactly how we're doing. So here's a Google Earth image, east, west to east. This is where Edith is. This is Elbernon. I can blow it up a little bit if you guys can see it. Just kind of wanted to show you the whole corridor. So like we were saying, our first phase with sewer and water are going to progress west to east all the way through, and the sewer work is going to take about 3 to 4 months. So we're starting that around May 13th and finish up late summer, early fall. Our water work is going to start in June, and that'll actually carry through about June of next year, depending on the crews. We've got over 10,000 feet of water line that we're going to be putting in addition to about 4,200 feet of is copper services. So there's a lot of water work to do. And like I was saying, as soon as we get past Elbernon, we can start our storm drain run, our storm drain work, which is gonna start in September. And trying to highlight the green. So some of the big features of work we have with the storm drain are the precast boxes. We've got five locations between, you know, Palo Verde, Dodge, Ritchie, Sparkman, all the way down to Walnut, where we're going to be bringing box culverts, precast box culverts across Grant to tie in the storm drain system to the existing storm drain system. And then all the laterals that we're going to be installing are going to tie into those box culverts. So they're all like individual little systems that need to be constructed in a certain sequence so that when they're installed, they're actually functioning, and we don't, you know, flood ourselves out or flood the neighborhoods out. We need that storm drain to be functioning. But like I was saying, the storm drain phase, it is very massive. It's very deep. We have our box culverts are going to be 10 feet by 3 feet. Some of them are double runs of 10 by 3 boxes. Down here at Elbernon, we have 96-inch pipe we're going to be putting in. Excuse me, my voice is a little rough. We're gonna be putting in up to 96-inch pipe running to the east. So the project is intended to help with the storm drains and to get drainage really, really going. One of the key features of the storm drain is the structure we have at Overland. That'll be probably the first impact, not probably, that'll be the first impact we have with Overland, because there's a main, there's a, if you know Overland, there's a structure right there now, a drop inlet structure that crosses the south side of Overland. Well, that's going to get replaced with a new structure, and that structure is key to everything that's going to drain to the from the east side of the project. So we have to build that first before we can advance across to the east end of the job. And that's going to start in September. And we'll multi-phase that across, maintaining a reasonable traffic patterns on Overland, and trying to, not trying, in constructing that structure. It's gonna take a couple months to build it. We were telling them right now it's about 45 shifts just to build that structure, and we have to do it in 2 to 3 phases. Are there any questions for it before? Yes, ma'am.
What kind of a storm are we designing for?
I don't know.
That's an honest answer.
Yeah. 100-year?
I can, I didn't work on phases 3 and 4, but I can explain what we're doing with 5 and 6. In general, for the smaller washes, we're designing for the 100-year event. But Grand Road carries a lot of water across, and there's places where catching all of that water for a 100-year event would result in just huge structures and impacts to property and things like that. So we're catching as much as we can, and then we're letting, in places, some water flow over the top of Grant Road. But if it flows over Grant Road, it would be less than a foot deep in a 100-year event. So the intent would be to make sure that people can still drive through even in a 100-year event, and that fire trucks can get through and all those things in a 100-year event. And that's similar to what was done in phase 2 and I believe phase 1 as well. Does that make sense, Alice?
Oh, yes, that does make sense. Just that I know the
even
city.
Though, even though you're working at night, traffic during the day, are you going to be able to leave 2 lanes each way open, or will it be down to 1 lane? Or
for this first phase, yes, we will. We'll basically, other than in case there anything happens, daytime traffic will be fairly not impacted, except for what we're patching back from the previous night. Might be a little rougher, but traffic should flow.
Alice, did we finish your discussion? Mm-hmm. Were you good with the?
Yeah, but I know the city used to design for 10-year storms, and this is an upgrade, I believe.
Yes.
So yes, just to clarify, if I may, the sewer work that you're doing, is that going to be all the way from west all the way east, and then you'll be following that up with the water section of the storm drains, or are you sectioning that, doing sewer in just a smaller area?
That's a good question. But the sewer work, I could have clarified that. But the sewer, we are not upgrading the sewer system. All we are doing is replacing sewer where there's conflicts with the storm drain and water lines. So they'll be in sections, but it will fluidly work east to west, or west to east. And but it's not like we're not putting in big mains and going down Grant Road with the sewer. It's going to be spot wherever we, like our box culverts cross, we're going to relocate the sewer and put PVC pipe rather than, because it still has the old clay line, and that's what the existing sewer is. So when we get into the road work, which will start in January, which is basically our phase 3, you'll notice like on the heading west, Grant Road kind of meanders a little bit. Well, it's going to do the same thing on this project. So we're going to construct it in kind of a sequence so we can maximize the room that we have. So basically, road work will start in January of next year, and we'll start at the west end at Edith, but we'll be working the north half of the road between Edith and Palo Verde, the south half of the road between Palo Verde and Dodge, then back onto the north side between Dodge and Elbernon, and then construct the west side of Elbernon. And phase four is just like the opposite of that. So if you see the red is our phase three, and then the green would be our phase four, and it just flip-flops basically the same scope of work. Phase three is anticipated to run basically through January into June of next year, which will pick up phase four, which will try to complete everything east of, west of Elbernon, you know, by the end of next year. And one of our kind of goals or focus is going to be to try to get the road built west of Elbernon in its final configuration before we cross over to the west, east half. Because we want to get it behind us. Now, won't say that it's going to be 100%. We'll have landscape and, probably some ancillary work still happening on the east side, or I'm sorry, west side, but most of the heavy construction will be done. Lanes will be where they are. It'll be paved. And right now we're kind of contemplating whether we put the top lift on or wait until the end of the job, you know, so that it's nice at the end of the job, you got a nice clean when we finish the other, you know, east half, we pave it all in one shot. So that's something we're still contemplating, but we'll be making a decision on that here in the next, you know, month or so. So kind of follow back, our phase four, which will be the south half from Edith to Palo Verde, north half from Palo Verde to Dodge, south half Dodge to Elbernon, and then we're going to build the southwest half of where the bus pull out and that south half of Elbernon. When phase four is complete and we're ready to jump the line, we're going to start our, phase five, which is going to punch in the medians. Okay, that's going to be fairly minimal. It'll be a fairly quick phase, but there's, I want to say approximately about 5,000 feet of curb we have to put in for the, the curb medians. And we'll get that and then get it paved in. And that's only a couple month phase. And then we'll start with the other side of the Elbernon, which will be phase six. Now, phase six is fairly, has a lot of work in it. But we'll have we'll have all of our underground work done. And basically, we're going to be all just doing surface work. Building it up. So phase six is going to start with that southeast corner or northeast corner of Elbernon and Grant, where the Walmart is. There's a bus bay that goes in. We're talking about that protected bike path that's going to be going in there. We're going to be doing the north half of Grant, pretty much all the way down to Venice. Okay. That's pretty much going to happen started towards the end of 25 and carry through about, early summer of 26. This job, our contract completion date is October 28th, end of October. That's today. We haven't even started anything, but we'll see how, things go from that. But the project completion is supposed to be towards the end of 2026. So at that point in time, we're going to be, finishing that east half, and then we're going to, just like we did in the west side, we're going to flip up and do the south half of Grant Road, between Elbernon and Venice, and then also pick up the construction on Elbernon. And Elbernon's going to be, it's going to be in multiple phases, because we'll have to kind of quadrant up the intersection so that we're maintaining lanes, whether it's eastbound, westbound, or north or southbound. So Elbernon won't be a clean phase. It's going to be a go-to phase. When we get it, we'll have to build it in pieces to march across the intersection. And then that's your take us up to about September, August, September of 26, and then at that point in time, we'll put the top lift of asphalt on, final striping, get everything cleaned up, try to get out of your guys' hair. One thing we didn't say, though, none of us has talked about it, it just hit me a little. We got a coyote dead there at the southeast corner of Dodge.
So, Chad, I missed it, too. So, southeast corner of Dodge, that's where the coyote goes. That's also the detention pond. And then we're building four siphons so those siphons are basically pressurized culverts to be able to get the water from the south side of Grant all the way over to the other side. And the coyote, we've been out and looked at it. It's already built. I don't know if we had a picture, but it's...
But that's why I wish we would have taken a picture.
We'll have pictures.
The picture is actually on the project website, and this presentation by Monday will also be put on the website under Task Force and for you ever to find that information.
What is coyote?
It's a 26-foot tall...
Structure.
Steel painted red coyote.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be able. You're supposed to be able to imagine it jumping up out of the retention pond, detention pond. Yeah.
I was gonna say. It's a leaping coyote.
Yeah, it'll be up on its hind legs and trying to jump out of the pond.
Okay, so there will be a path. The public art for this section.
It will be lighted. The whole detention pond will be lighted. And we will have a sidewalk that goes down into the bottom and comes back up again.
And we will have a photo at the community meeting that we have scheduled next Saturday, and the artist will actually be there to talk to people if they have any questions and more information on the basin and the area. We'll have at that meeting. So back to the task force. Yes?
I have a question. I don't know whether it's for Granite or for Bob, but... all of the disruption into the neighborhoods that concerns me as a business person. It certainly concerns all of the, we have people cutting through our property now and going up Walnut, Sycamore, whatever. So I think it's somebody needs to talk a little bit about that at this meeting. I don't know if it's part of the agenda, but I think we need to understand what steps are going to be taken.
In prior meetings that we've had, and I've had with everybody else, we've already committed to put a Type 3 barricade, road closed, with local traffic only. On selected areas, we do have temporary speed humps that we will be putting out when we see problems. Then we'll find out where our problems are. And I'm sure the neighborhood will tell me because you've always told me before. So.
Hi, Bob. I'm Meg.
I know.
Yeah, maybe we should have introduced the audience. So, task force members, any other questions for where we are on the status of 3-4 getting ready for construction?
Yeah, I had one. This is, I think, more for Bob. In terms of the contract structure you have with Granite, is it a fixed completion date that's incentivized? Are you using damages to...
There'll be liquidated damages if they don't get done. So. That's your incentive.
No, I'm sorry.
And then just in terms of regular neighborhood outreach during the process, is the city going to be posting to the website? How do the neighbors...
So we have Michael Graham here with... Department of Transportation and Mobility. He is the strategic communication, and he has an entire team. So, Mike, you want to answer that?
Yeah. So, obviously, we're going to start with informing the media. We do a lot of social media posts, so make sure you go to our website, follow us on our social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, as well as Instagram. That's where we seem to get. We put a lot of information out. And on those platforms to get information to the public, it's quick. We can get out there real quick. Obviously, we try to get as much media coverage as we can.
You know, some people still do watch the television news, and we can get information out to the public that way. Notification letters, and but mainly our social media platform is what the major updates, as well as the website. Whatever goes out notification-wise to the public is always on the website.
Okay. And then I just have one more question.
Sure. This is your meeting.
It's all good.
So this is for Granite. In terms of preparations for monsoon, you're going to have a lot of open trenches. You're going to be connecting and disconnecting storm drains. Can you talk a little bit about how you've structured phasing to account for monsoon and kind of what's on your radar for being prepared for that, assuming we have a good year?
Well, that's... appreciate you asking that question. That's kind of how we developed our phasing. That's why we wanted to start with water and sewer first, so they're immediately backfilled at the end of the day. We didn't want to start our storm drain until September, till the tail end or hopefully the end of you know, the monsoons, because you're absolutely correct. It can be devastating if the construction site's not in order when the rains come. So we did take that into account, and that is the reason we have phased the project the way it is, especially at the beginning. And we're trying to have the storm drain in by next year's monsoon. So then we won't have to worry about it.
Will you have sumps to clear the trenches if need be so that you don't experience delays? Are you kind of planning to stage those for the other trenches that are going to be open during monsoon?
So we will backfill our trenches at the end of each shift. If we if we mid-shift get hit with a torrential downpour and it fills up, then yes, we absolutely will pump it out into water trucks and get it out of there.
Great, thank you. Yeah.
But the intent is to have our trenches backfilled at the end of the shift so that we're not leaving open holes. Now we're going to have manholes. We're going to have, you know, I won't say it's not going to, those will take place, of course, but... the intent is to not leave the job exposed.
Sounds good. I appreciate the thought that went into the phasing to consider monsoon on the storm drain, since we know this area gets, you know, the brunt of Christmas wash flowing through it.
Task force members, any other?
So one more thing. We'll hit it again. Chad introduced that the 96-inch diameter culvert will go from Alvernon to Columbus. So that will be a big part of trying to solve some of this drainage problem. That's the big concrete that we've got on the job.
Get it in the ground rather than run it on the surface.
Yeah.
Okay, task force members, any questions specific to phase 3-4 construction activities, what to expect?
So just one last overview. April for this month, construction begins the end of this month. And the drop dead date is January of 2047. Is that correct?
You gave us a couple extra months, Jim.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's why
October.
October 26. Okay. October 26. Okay.
It's 2.5 year project.
Right. Okay. I don't want to give you any more time.
Task force members, any other questions? Okay, so we are having an open house. I hope everybody had received their invitation. We did mail it for everybody in phases 3, 4, 5, and 6. So every person, business that has a mail receptacle should have received a postcard. We have extras here if you have any that you want to take back. And then just like Deirdre's question is, we have a constant contact email blast that we send out to everybody. That should have the invitation on it. It is also on the project website. So if somehow we miss someone, please advise me so we can correct that situation. And Main Street Business Assistance reached out to all the businesses on the quarter. So some of you probably are gonna go, how many times do you have to tell me about this public meeting? But we have a lot of lists. So there you have it. So Alejandro.
Good. Thank you, John. And there should be a slide, Chad, if you can help the next one. Hopefully there's another one.
What's the update?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I didn't leave you hanging.
Thank you, Joan. So I think most of you have seen updates on phases 5 and 6. That's the last segment of Grant Road. So it's the, like, donut hole in the middle between what's done and what's going to get started here soon. So it's a little bit over 2 miles between the streets that people are familiar with are Park and Palo Verde. So that's the last segment. Where we are today is we submitted 90% plans. When we do plans, we normally start with what we call 30%, which is a very preliminary approach to make sure we cover all the big issues. Then we refine it and add a little detail and do 60%. Then we detail things out more at 90%. And then after this, the last step is final plans. So we have one submittal of plans left. This one was completed in 2023, at the end of 23. We are, I'm not going to say we're on hold because we're not on hold, but we are not doing additional design right now. We're not working on the 100% plans yet. Right now, we're focusing on preparing for utility relocations. So we've been working with utility companies to make sure they have their needs covered with the project. And we're working on preparing legal descriptions. These are like the geometric diagrams and descriptions of what the properties we need to acquire are. So that's the first step before we go get appraisals and before we talk to property owners. So those are the activities in our critical path right now. I don't have certainty of when we'll go to construction because once we get once we progress with the two activities we're at, we're going to need to move forward with right-of-way acquisition by the properties that need to be acquired for the project, and we don't have that funding today. So as we learn more, we'd be happy to share it. And if anyone has any questions on Grant 5 and 6, I'm happy to try. Jim?
You just said everybody's hot button when you said funding.
That's why I said it quickly.
So these phases now go into the, what's called the new RTA, whatever, which is still, correct
me if I'm wrong,
still a big question mark in Tucson. God forbid, what happens
if RTA next doesn't pass?
If RTA all of a sudden disbands? I mean, where does that leave all of this?
Right. And so, Rick, I'm going to pass it to you in a second. I'm going to try to get you started. Here's what I do know is that none of Grant Road has been pushed to a future phase of RTA. So some projects that don't have sufficient funding on the current RTA have been discussed to be pushed to RTA next, not Grant Road. So I think we're behind on the timeline, but that doesn't mean necessarily that it's not funded through the current RTA. That's my understanding.
That's actually really good. So it's not one of the deferred projects. So the board took action based on jurisdiction submitted candidates, and they deferred four projects. That's RTA next. So those will be considered an RTA next, and if there's not an RTA next, they'll be brought back and delivered as per board direction in the current RTA. We're still here. We're not going away. We've got roadway projects to complete, and we expect it'll go past 2026. That's been the plan all along. So this one's going to be done. The question is timing. And here's, I just got done sharing this with the RTA board, because this very question's coming up regularly. So I'll try to repeat and see if I can make sure to make it make sense. There is commitment to finish all the roadway element projects. Okay, that's been out there. The board's done it. The jurisdictions have pledged to do it. It's a matter of urgency. Construction-ready projects have to be front of the line. Get the improvements out on the street and get them to the public. That's why 3-4 is moving forward. That's why Tangerine Road is moving forward. That's why Silverbell's going to be coming. Valencia. They're there. They're ready. Cross the finish line. Get them out there. Okay, that's priority number one, or urgency number one, or sequence number one, however you like to look at it. Number two, we have legislative legal mandates to start construction on projects before the end of the plan. I didn't write it, but I want to make sure we abide by it. There are seven projects out there that we still have to do that. Okay, June 30, 2026, there better be a shovel in the ground. So we've got to meet those commitments. We can't sit there and go, we don't have any money, well, we put it towards something else. That's got to be number two in line. So those are being worked on right now. That's the available resources we have to date, but back to the pledge from the RTA board as well as the jurisdiction. We know then that once we met those, the remainder of the projects will be delivered. That's the uncertainty on the time frame. The moving target is, what's it going to take to get all those remaining projects in place? What's the amount needed? How much do we got? What's in hand? What do I have to go wait for? Those are the unknowns. So we can't just lock something up and then be faced with a request that says, can we have 10 million more to go build Silverbell? I just gave it over here. Can't take it back. So that's the conundrum we're in, but that's why we've established that sequencing. And that makes sense. If you think about it, that's the right priority that residents, citizens, jurisdictions, and ourselves want to see is build it when it's ready, be legally compliant, come back and polish it all off the end. I actually took longer on that explanation than I did with our board. So does that make sense? More importantly, does that resonate and say, okay, that would be a logical approach? It's not an answer we want to give on Grant Road 5 and 6. We recognize the importance. We recognize the lost opportunity of overlap. We got it. We're struggling with that too. But the bottom line is we don't want to sacrifice one of the other ones as well.
Just to clarify, of those seven projects you mentioned, that you have to have a shovel in the ground by the end of 26, or whatever the date is phases 5 and 6 one of those seven projects?
No, because we've already, Grant Road, by its definition, as a project on the ballot, went from Oracle to Swan.
Right.
With phases 1 and 2 being built, we met compliance requirements. You only have to start construction by a certain period. You don't have to complete it. Yeah, that, a lot of people get kind of messed up on that, is that, oh, you have to be done by, no, this was always going to go past. We knew delivery would extend past. That's why it says you must start construction in a period. And on these big 6 mile, 10 mile corridors, we break them into pieces for manageability. We've met that compliance requirement.
Task force members, any other questions at this point in the agenda?
Yes, Alice.
I'm very interested in the acquisition date for the Harvest Dispensary. That's I would like that one out of there, and I know that there's been no money to buy it, and the owners wouldn't sell it, but when are they going to have to get out of there?
I wish I could give you an answer. We are, again, we're drafting all the documents so we can proceed with it, but we don't have any funds allocated to acquire it yet. And I don't know when that date is, so I'm going to point back to him. Sorry. It is planned to be a full acquisition. So the intent is to buy the building. We need it for the project, but we don't have a firm date.
So my neighbors are going to have to wait a little longer.
Yes.
Task force members, any other questions? Okay, we are at the point of the agenda for the call to the audience. I have 3 cards. Is there anybody else that would like to address the task force? Okay. Lisa Mayer, do you want to read your statement or would you like me to?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. The landscaping just south of Grant between Euclid and Park is just lovely. Can this be replicated from Campbell to Swan?
Say that again.
You want me to answer?
Say it again.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's no open meeting things that we can't answer. Call for the audience, right? We can.
I heard a task force member ask you to answer it.
Oh yeah, I did too. Okay. So the landscaping on the south side between Euclid and Park is there for 2 reasons. Part of it is because of a drainage feature, that big basin that you see there, that was paid for by the project, and I think phase 3 and 4 is going to have a similar basin with similar landscaping. So if it's something that's needed for the project, it is paid for with the project. But Jefferson Park made a huge additional effort and got funding to provide additional berms and landscaping in that segment, actually from Park out to Fremont and Santa Rita. So that was not paid by the neighbors, but they pushed to get the funding and to get it moving, so they did that on their own. The segment between there and Swan will still have a heavy dose of landscaping, especially focused more on the residential areas than on the commercial areas. We've heard from people who own businesses, they don't want a lot of landscaping blocking their signs and their view and their access. but the residential areas want more landscaping. So what we're trying to do is put a little less in the commercial and a little more in the residential. Yeah, I think the other thing that always comes up on projects is people would like the trees to be grown by the, you know, when you plant them. But we usually plant, you know, smaller trees, and it takes 5-6 years for them to be really nice trees, but you're starting to see it on phase two, and I think you see some of the trees on Grand phase one have done really well. So over time, we'll get there.
So Bob was talking about how the landscaping will go 12 feet from the sidewalks.
And where we can do that. There are some skinny spots, but yeah.
So for example, between Alvernon and Columbus, that is not commercial, or it is?
So that between Columbus and Alvernon, that is commercial.
Yes.
So that's a unique situation. RTA has helped me out on this one. We bought all those buildings, right? We demolished all those buildings.
Yeah, it's just and open it's, land. Right?
So right now there's discussion in front of the mayor and council to get an overlay plan so that there can be better or more easily acquired or purchased to be able to build more commercial there. And we actually are putting a private sewer in to be able to service whoever we sell that property to. And RTA is funding that. That sewer then will come down to Columbus and Alvernon, tie back in again to the public sewer. So I think Mr. Kozacik is gone now, or going to be gone. He was a big proponent of that, we'll see, you know, who the next person wants to push, you know, for what they want to do there.
Are you saying when it gets redeveloped, the developer will plant the landscaping?
No, we'll plant the landscaping, but it gets very tight in there.
Okay.
We'll put the landscaping in what we're putting landscaping in.
That won't interfere with.
Yeah, it is for a commercial investment, and I don't know who is going to do that. I mean, who's going to invest money into developing that area? But they'll. It'll be a good one. It'll be a good urban renewal project for the area.
So there will be 12 feet of?
I think more like 8 feet in the commercial area,
okay.
In that particular area, if I remember correctly. But as you get down the different, it kind of winds in and out depending upon how much right-of-way we have. And we try to minimize the right-of-way takes on the whole project. And that's been the same as phase two, 5 and 6. We're minimizing. We're not trying to take, you know, people's buildings and homes and. That's not the whole function of what we do. That just doesn't do anybody any good.
Okay, Bob, we need to move on with the call to the audience, and we're not all going to walk out of here right in the meeting, and I know a couple task force members need to leave in a little bit, and I don't want to lose quorum. So the next call to the audience card that I have is Callie Van Kempen. What are the plans? Okay. I did go a little out of school as far as answering things publicly. What I'd recommend is once you ask that, you go to the back of the room and help her with
talk
her.
About it?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm Kaylee Van Kempen, and I'm from Jewel & Fruitvale Neighborhood Association. And we want to know what the plans are for Country Club and Grand intersection. What phase is it part of, and when does work begin? I got it a little bit from here, but I would really love any clarification you have about Country Club and Grant.
We can spend as much time as you want. The exhibit in the back of the room has all the detail. We can walk through it.
After. We'll do that right after.
Yeah.
We're just about to the end.
Can you just give me a brief answer?
It's a phases 5 and 6.
So it's phases 5 and 6.
So and there is no timeline today.
Okay, so
that's the short version of the story.
That one slide that you just had. That I just took a snapshot of refers to my neighborhood.
Your segment, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
The next call to the audience card is Louise Pollack.
Lois,
excuse me.
Okay, so you guys are talking about doing everything at night. That's great for cars. But our experience has been that there's a lot of noise. Speaking trucks, driving trucks everywhere. How are you guys going to mitigate the noise at night?
Just because we do have rules, we're not supposed to respond to the call to the audience, but if one of the task force members.
I would suggest this is a very great issue that needs to be addressed.
Okay, thank you. The other question I had is lighting. You're going to need humongous floodlights out there at night. And again, it's going to impact the residents, because the residents are right up against that section. And I'm talking predominantly Alvernine to Columbus. Actually, Alvernine and however far past you go in Columbus. Right now, we have a huge problem with trucks just hauling dirt around. And we've already discussed a little bit how you're going to mitigate cut through traffic. We talked about that. But lighting and noise are enormous issues. Residents won't be able to sleep. I could care less about cars, whether they can travel through the area, honestly. But it's all about quality of life for residents. So those are my major.
Chad, are you in a position to respond to this, or is this something that we should look into a little bit further and come back with a stronger, some more information?
Yeah, there's, because there's, I would say more, we'll call it research, but we understand the concern at night. Now, there are things we cannot like disengage the backup alarms. It's illegal to do that. The flood lighting we can mitigate to keep it on the work areas. Now, if there's street lighting, we try to mitigate as much, or we try to utilize as much street lighting as we can, because we don't want an extra piece of something out there. Because it's a security risk or whatnot, but we can try to ensure that our lighting is only on the work that we're performing. Now the other aspect of it is this project, and I don't want to speak out of tune, there's only so many crews we can put out there. So this isn't going to be until even when we start the road work, we're going to probably have three crews, and maybe an electrical crew put in there, but they can do that in the daytime. They can be doing that, off the road. But we're not going to have 100 people out there. We can't fit them in. The work doesn't allow that kind of. That's why it's a two. You know, when we first got the job, we were like, how in the hell is this going to take us 2.5 years to build a mile and a half of road? Well, when you break it through, that's why. Because how we have to build this. I don't know if this helps answer your question, but hopefully it helps kind of set an expectation that we aren't going to have 10 or 15 crews working out there at night, because we literally can't.
Well, the work's truth not of the matter there, is you can hear a generator from about a block away. And so anything is going to be super noisy throughout the entire neighborhood, on both sides of
Greenwood. Just to add to it, it is a moving operation. So please don't expect very loud noises and bright lights in front of a particular area for 2.5 years. When we get done with a piece, we move on to the next piece. That's not great. There will be noise and lights. It's rentable. But we're doing what we can to mitigate it.
And I think it makes sense to mitigate it to the extent possible, but there's also worker safety issues if you're working everything throughout the day, especially the areas right by the road. So that's another reason to do some of the work at night.
And the next call to the audience card is from Ronnie Katwicka. EG's was first scheduled for demolition. Wicker was to stay. There was a change. EG's billboard staying. Wicker, when does it go? This is a conversation that you need to have directly with Bob because of some of the discussions that occur and how where he is on the status of those things. That's advice from some very important people. So thank you for everyone for the call to the audience. Very quickly, we have Britton and Jan here with Main Street Business Assistance. I think if you have a business in the corridor, you have met them over time. If you haven't, this would be a perfect opportunity for you to meet them. Do either of you have anything to add?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Great. But we're here to answer questions if anybody wants to.
Okay. Yeah, we send out all the e-blasts to the corridor. We
set out somewhere between $25,000 and $75,000 a year on all our projects. And we have a hotline, which anybody can call, and they do, that we answer. Both Jan and I are available 24/7. And we've been out there 17 years, waiting for this day. So, many of you know us very well on the committee. We've worked with people here, know very well. And we're always available.
So, task force members, do you have any questions regarding Main Street Business Assistance? Okay, so next steps, we do have the public open house. You've heard the schedule, the best we know it today, for phases 5-6. When we have more information, we will decide how we reconvene the task force. Remember, we're here to address questions, and if we need to come together again, we will, but we don't know when is. So at this point, for some of the new members of the task force, we take a moment and do a round table, and you just have a moment to share anything that you'd like with the group, and if you have any announcements for your organization. So who wants to start? One of the veterans?
Oh, well, you know, I'm just impressed by how the staff and this the engineering firm, as well as the construction people, they well prepare for the meeting, and they answer the, I believe, all the questions pretty well, and some of them with this extended detail, so telling the why and what to expect, what the reason is, what might be anticipated down the road. So I just compliment the team, and it's, and you know, and you guys ask good questions too. So thanks all for coming.
Sure. I think tonight I understand better the RTA funding, and your answer was very helpful. I appreciate that, because people ask me, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's money or, but maybe I can be better prepared. Thank you. Yeah.
Peter.
He's not consistently wrong.
I know, which is why I'm helping. No, I appreciate the presentations. They've been really helpful getting a handle on the sort of the build calendar you have in mind at that high level was just fantastic. I've got a neighborhood association meeting to speak to this weekend, and I feel ready, so thank you guys. And the RTA discussion and response was also very helpful to see how these fit, and also would not have this boat rocked by that boat so much.
Yeah, so I appreciate the update as well as the thought Granite put into phasing, and especially the interactions with Monsoon and just how to minimize their impact. I think Lois had some really good points in terms of impacts to the neighborhood. And as we move forward, that should be something that we get an update on, acknowledging that, yes, construction will be moved, it will be in a trench, but still that's fair to the neighbors to get an update on how Granite is minimizing those impacts while keeping safety to the contractor in mind as well.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm new to it, so catching up, but I've been to several community meetings here and kind of aware of the project. I've been keeping my eye on for a long time, but also impressive with the presentation and the detail. And I'm in construction on the residential side and small commercials, so I can't even understand how you know can grasp this whole thing, but it's I'm excited about the project for where we live and where our business is. I think it'll be beneficial for traffic flow. We were just in an accident right at Grand Tucson last Saturday, so that's a dangerous corner, and looking forward to that being cleaned up and maybe an arrow and for the indirect turn is going to be valuable there. So thanks to all involved and the community members too. I think I like the turnout. It's nice and the interaction that you all are able to answer their questions best you can.
Well, thank you all for coming. It's been a long, long time. And thank you for answering my question about the Harvest Dispensary. This is one of those, I'd say, a burr in my saddle. Anyway,
I wanted to say that, that I think that we're going to have to reach out to the various neighborhoods or, you know, subsets of people where, when there is going to be a construction going on. And I think that's going to be, you know, that people like to know what's going to happen. And they don't like open-ended, like, oh, it's going to just happen sometime in the next year. But they'd like to have a time frame of, okay, this part is going to be for, you know, a couple of weeks, and it's lights and it's noise. And then we're gone. So I'm hoping that that's going to be a way that you can help mitigate the impact on neighbors.
Michael, I don't know if you can see Michael, he's nodding his head in the back of the room.
Awesome.
Good. Good, because I think that's the key to information. You've got to have information out there that's both accurate and timely. So anyway, but thank you all. Thank you for hanging in there with us.
Yep.
We're here. And I'm delighted to hear that we are going to actually have an overlay zone, maybe at some point, because this has always been my interest is redevelopment when we have these vacant parcels. It's that I live next to Speedway, close enough to Speedway. I mean, how long it took to redevelop Speedway from when it was widened in the early 90s. So thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank all the people here, Grant and the city and Somas and everybody that's here for presenting this. That's the good part. Now here's the bad part. In my neighborhood, there's a lot of people that don't understand anything about what we're going doing in this room. We need RTA, the city needs to go out to the city and tell the public what's been done already with the RTA, where the money's been spent, what's been built. Because you got another one going to come up at the end of 26, and I can guarantee you that people don't have a clue what you've done now, and they're not going to vote for the next one. Also, my father, bless his heart, told me, don't ever start something you can't finish. I think Grant Road fits that. Thank you.
Okay. At this point, we are adjourning the meeting at 6:40. Thank you all. And as I mentioned, all of our team members are here with name tags. We're willing to stay. Bob is the project manager. Do you have one last comment? Are you ready to go?
Is it time to go home?
No, what? You're going to answer our questions.
No,
not for you. Not yet.
We're fine. Come on up. We'd like to meet you. We don't know you already.
And on behalf of the city in Granite, thank you for coming out.
Maybe a year or two, but I hope to see you again.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Neighborhood. I mean, it's kind of a cool spot. But they've
Well, that's why.